Hey, I'm Amber.
And I'm Becca.
From cranberries
to cows
and everything in between,
this is Forward Farming.
Hey guys.
Welcome back to Forward Farming.
Holy shit, I forgot how to work this.
We got the intro down though.
We did. We didn't have any troubles with our computers either. Yet, knock on wood, as you just froze.
Good start.
Back in the swing of things. How are you?
Oh man, surviving. It has been
a very
busy summer. I underestimated, like, I don't know, as the kids get older and get involved in more stuff, and then, like, work and farm and, like, everything, I underestimated how busy the summer would actually be. So, I know our break wasn't really planned, but I'm thankful for it, because I don't know how we would, I mean, we've been trying to record this for, like, 3 weeks now, so.
I feel like the last time we talked, I think you had just signed up to be a soccer coach.
Oh, yeah.
Is your season over with?
It is. It got over last week. It was super fun. I'll give it that. It was a great group of kids that I had. But hot dang, it was a long season. And it was hard because we had softball and t-ball and soccer all at the same time. And softball and t-ball were like jam-packed into a month. Like we had three games a week for Sophia. Joe usually had one game. And then like practices, and then soccer was once a week. That was a lot. It was like not fun at that point. And then softball got over at the end of June and t-ball did. And so then it was just all through July, it was just soccer games, and they were only on Monday. So like it really wasn't that bad. But like towards the end, it was just like, oh my gosh, because we had like Dubuque Fair that I was at, and like work starting to pick up more. So it was a lot, but it was super fun. Will I do it next year? Probably not. but it was eye-opening. And I'm really glad we had a lady I work with, her daughter play soccer, and she's like super talented, and she volunteered to help us out. And so she was kind of the ref and like gave all the kids super great tips and stuff. So that was really nice, just because I mean, I know more about soccer than I did a few months ago, but still not that much. But it was really fun to watch Sophia's confidence and stuff, like, throughout the whole thing. Because when she started, like, literally had never played soccer before. And by the end, she was, like, running up to the ball. Like, she was super aggressive. So it was really fun to watch that. She scored a couple goals. And, like, after she scored her first goal, probably, like, four games in, you could just see that she was just, like, that was fun. Like, I want to do that again. And so, like, she was just super aggressive after that point. So it was really fun, but glad it's over.
Is she going to do it again next year? Is she already excited for next season?
So it was kind of funny. A couple weeks ago, it's been a pretty hot summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like all the games were just really hot for soccer. And so a couple weeks ago, she was like, I don't think I'm going to play sports next year. Like, this is just, it's so hot. I don't like it. I was like, okay, you know, we will revisit it. Like, you don't have to make up your mind right now. You know, we've got quite a while. And then after the last soccer game, she's like, Mom, I know I told you I didn't want to play sports, but I do next year. I was like, I kind of figured.
Good. That's so exciting.
Yeah, it was fun. I don't know. I heard a rumor that they're going to have to pick between soccer and softball, and they don't want people doing both at the same time, which I totally get, because it's really hard to like figure out schedule. So honestly, I don't know which one she's going to pick. Personally, I would hope that she'd pick softball, just because we have like a softball team and there's not really a soccer team once they age out of this youth summer league, but we'll come to that when it comes.
Well, if you need any softball help, I've got a pitching machine here. You guys can come for a weekend and we can whack some balls.
That's awesome. Porter's gonna like softball whether he likes it or not, or baseball.
Yeah, yeah, he's not even gonna get to play baseball. He's gonna be a softball kid. Sorry, buddy. I don't know how baseball works. It's just all softball around here. We got him a little tee for the backyard.
Oh, cute.
Terrible idea. It's a weapon. Oh. Everything's a weapon. so we can't. We're starting 3K in like a month, and he has to be potty trained before he can start 3K.
Struggle.
He's getting better. It's hard though, because it's just weird having him go from diapers, and then it's like, well, we're gonna go travel here, so I don't want you being in the car in underwear, so I'm gonna put you back in a diaper. And how do you tell him? You know, like, it just seems confusing. So we're kind of like bouncing here and there and all over the place, and it's like not just consecutive days of just potty training and being like, okay, you've got to get this down today, and then tomorrow it's the same thing. Or it's like, oh, we're gonna have the babysitter over today, and I don't want to have her worry about potty training while she's here, because she's only like 20. So it's like, for her convenience, let's just put him in a diaper. So I feel bad. It's kind of my fault. But at the same time, it's like, do I just suck it up and have her deal with it for the day? It should be nice enough this week where he should be fine just to like run around naked outside and she can just deal with it. So I think this is going to be the big push week where it's like, you gotta get this done. Otherwise you're not going to school.
Yeah. Jackson is, I'd say like 80% potty trained at this point. Like, and he honestly does much better at school than he does at home. Because I think at home, sometimes he just kind of forgets. And at school, all the other kids are there, like, potty training too. So he's got, like, other people to kind of learn from. But we still struggle to get him to poop in the toilet. He likes to poop in our yard. So that's our biggest struggle. But at least he's not pooping in his underwear, mostly.
And yeah.
He's pooping outside. I mean, we're still saving on diapers, so like, I don't know. I can't complain that much. But
I was gonna say, I count that as a win.
Yeah,
for you.
He's usually to pull up like for nap time and then overnight now. But I totally get what you're saying about like going in the car in a long car ride. Like it's so hard. We drove to my parents' house a couple weekends ago, and he refused to put a diaper on, and like I was fine. I was like, okay, that's like okay. But I was like, please don't pee in your car seat because it's a 3-hour drive. Like, that's going to be a mess.
It's a bugger to clean.
But he did good. He peed before we left, and then he was fine. And he didn't pee in his car seat. So
that's impressive.
It was. I thought he totally would. But it's hard to know like when they're actually ready. Like when you can trust that they'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a good answer.
No, there's not. And two, he's still in his crib. Porter is still sleeping in his crib. Like his third birthday is coming up in a couple weeks, and he's still in a crib. And I'm riding it out until like he's climbing out of it. And it's like once he gets into that bed, I feel like then it's like okay, you have then access. Yeah. Then you have full access to the bathroom, like nothing's holding you back. It's a lot of change going around here. All good things. How was the fair for you this year? You just finished your county fair and now you're off to the state fair?
Yeah, so Dubuque County Fair just happened, not last week, but the week before. We are technically, like our family, we're in Grant County. Which is the week after State Fair. So when the kids start showing, holy crap, that's going to be a long month of fairs. But Dubuque Fair was awesome. The weather was perfect. We sold a lot of milk.
Good.
That's all I can say. But yeah, it was fun. It was my first year, like, it was my second year going with Prairie Farms. And my first year, like, kind of coordinating everything. So it was just kind of cool to see, like, how everything works. On the opposite end of the fair, and it was nice to see people and meet new people and things like that. So yeah, now this weekend I will be headed to State Fair to work at the Prairie Farms booth, and then also hopefully I'll get to see a little bit of the Open Dairy show. I normally help out, but I don't know what I was thinking when I signed up for my shifts at State Fair. Like, it's just not gonna happen this year, which is a bummer, but I'm gonna remember that for next year. So. And you were at State Fair too this week, right?
I was last week, the first day of August. I went. a recording, so the cat's got to poop in her litter box. I went on August 1st, and I did an interview at the Wisconsin Cranberry booth, just to promote the booth. And Prairie Farms booth is like right next to the Wisconsin Cranberries booth in the Wisconsin Products Pavilion. If you guys are going to the state fair, make sure to check that out. There's like a grilled cheese station right next, like in between the two booths too. And they have like the cheese stretch board so you can see how well your cheese pulls. But I was sitting, I got there early for the interview, and I was sitting next to a milkshake booth, and I was sitting there, and it was so freaking hot, and it was so humid, like you're dripping sweat just by existing outside. And so I was sitting in there before my interview, and I was like, you know, I think I'm gonna go get a milkshake. And I walk over there, and this nice lady was serving milkshakes, and she looked at me, she's like, Amber? And I'm like, yeah. And I kind of like looked at her for a minute, and I'm like, you kind of look like Becca. I'm just gonna assume you're Becca's mom. So your mom served me a milkshake, and she was very nice.
The best part of that is I literally had two text messages from both of you within minutes of each other. And my mom is like, is Amber at State Fair today? And then you're like, is your mom working the shake booth? And I was like, yes.
That was funny, because I felt like she was kind of creeping on me. There's like the demonstration stage was right next to the shake booth, and I was sitting there waiting for like a maple syrup guy to start talking or something. So I don't know if she was just like, if she saw me and was just spotting me out in the crowd while I was sitting there, because she like noticed me right when I walked up. So I think she had her eyes on me, but it was funny. It's like, oh, I was not expecting you.
Was it a good shake?
It was good. Nice and thick.
Prairie Farms ice cream mix.
It was good. Top notch.
Yeah.
Best $4 I spent that day.
That's, I mean, honestly, the Wisconsin Products Pavilion, Jesus, is just, it's a really great place to get
it is
food
fun.
Because it's cheaper mostly than like some of the other places on the grounds, and like it's all from Wisconsin. Freaking love getting the potatoes.
The potatoes!
They're so good.
They're very loud. They cheer. What else is in there? There's a cherry booth. I think, well, there's maple syrup. There's someone was selling bison products. They had like buffalo burgers and stuff like that.
Is the smoke and cheese booth there? It's like right when you walk in.
I feel like I guess I haven't gone in a couple years, but I feel like they have switched everything around.
Oh, okay.
In the pavilion, like they just kind of redesigned it.
So last year we were walking around. I was walking with my dad, and it's called Smoke and Tease, and it's like a smoked tomato based sauce. And we got samples of it, and it was so good. So then we bought some, and then Joey fell in love with it. Like, I made spaghetti with it, and it was the best spaghetti I've ever made in my life. But the unfortunate part is it's not really, you can buy it online, but it's not sold like in any stores around me. You can only buy it like stores back near Milwaukee. So then every time I would go home, I'd like stop at Sendix to get the smoke and tea sauce because it's so good. So anyways, I'm hoping that they're at the fair and they have a good deal so that I can stock up on it.
Shoot. Now I'm kind of bummed I missed that. Yeah, but if you stop at the Wisconsin Cranberries booth, they have the Cranberry Kringle there. I did a video with O&H, the bakery that the Cranberry Kringles are from. I was like, oh, it's like a little full circle moment. It was cute. They're selling just like wedges of Kringle for like $2. You can get sweetened dried cranberries there for like $1. And I think they have like a cranberry cookie too for pretty cheap and juice.
What did they have last year? Like a scone or something with chocolate? I got something from there last year, and it was so good.
I think so. They try to change it up every couple of years. Maybe it was it a cannoli?
Maybe. I don't remember. I just remember it was delicious.
The cranberry cannolis were good.
Yeah.
Anyway. We're recording right before dinner. I'm like, God, I'm hungry.
Yeah, terrible idea. I don't even know what we're having for dinner, so.
We're having pierogies. And a Polish sausage, because it's Polish Heritage Night here, apparently.
I made BLTs yesterday.
I'm so jealous.
So good. My tomatoes aren't ready yet, but I was at one of our local grocery stores and they had beautiful looking tomatoes. So I was like, you know what? I got bacon. I got lettuce. I can make a BLT. Anyways, oh, go ahead.
We just picked a bunch of beans from our garden and we canned beans with my parents this weekend. And I don't want to see another green bean for a while. Like,
yeah.
I didn't ask.
Like, canning is great and all, but then you like do it so much that it's like,
I don't want to look at you ever again.
So how's things going on the marsh? What are you guys up to? Has this heat been bad? I know you've gotten a lot of storms too.
We did. The fruit is sizing up right now, so it's all looking pretty good. Last year we had like one of the best crops I think we've had ever. And this year it's not. Which is kind of to be expected. Like a lot of the plant's energy went into growing that massive crop last year. And now this year it's just like, okay. So we've dodged a lot of the bad storms like last night.
Yeah.
Last night we had like the first rain in probably two or three weeks, I think. And up until, I think from like May until end of July, we had like 20 plus inches of rain. So that's a lot. That was a lot of rain. I think it was over like 25 inches of rain. So a dry spell was good. It let the fruit like really size up without the risk of like too much moisture and that causes rot in the berries. So I guess it's good. It's good. Last year was super dry, super hot. This year, yeah, it's kind of wet, kind of hot, kind of dry. It's like it, whatever. But yeah, we're just kind of sitting around waiting for harvest at this point. So that's like a month away, which is nuts. I think next week is when I do my annual berry count. So I go out in all the different varieties and I have a square foot, like literal square, that I throw out in a random patch and I pick all of the fruit within that square foot and then I count them all, weigh them all, and compare it to last year.
Reporter when he's a little bit older.
I hate it.
He can practice his counting.
Yeah, count up to like 400.
Okay, so maybe like first couple years. Grade.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll teach them like the counting blocks. It'll be fine.
Yeah,
it's good. How are everything? How's everything on the farm? How's work?
Farm overall is pretty good. We had a lot of rain and then it was dry for a while. Last night I think we maybe had a little bit of rain, but not. I don't know. I guess I didn't notice it. Like it didn't really do much out there. But it is cooler today, which is really nice. We started our little summer-ish calving July 31st. So we have three calves on the ground, three live calves on the ground now. Spunky little things. Like we vaccinate them and tag them. And ideally, it's, like, nice to do them as soon as you can, just because, like, then they're not quite as crazy. But the one boy, the first day that he was born, he, like, saw me from a mile away and just took off. And I was like, well, we'll be lucky if we get him vaccinated. But I don't know, by the second day, he was actually kind of curious of me just driving in the four-wheeler. And so I was able to catch him the other day. But so we have a calf named Bumblebee.
Cute.
We have a calf named Nacho. And our newest calf is Meatball. Very cute. unfortunately, Sassy, who like is my queen puppy dog, she had dead twins on my birthday, which was like the worst birthday gift ever.
I mean,
how rude. the whole story was kind of like the morning of, I noticed she didn't look quite as good and she had mastitis in two of her back quarters. And she was just off by herself. So like normally cows are herd animals. So like if they're off by themselves, they're usually they're sick or they're calving. And she could have been both. I didn't know. But I was like, okay, I'm going to go get drugs from the vet clinic really quick, come back and treat her right away just so that she'd be good to go when she calved. And so we went and got the drugs, came home, and Joey was working. And so I had the kids with me and we drove around for probably 2.5 hours, could not find where she went. Like, there's a lot of hiding spots in our pasture, and especially in the very back, we could not get to it this spring because it was so wet. And so we didn't get to spray anything. So like the thistles and the multiflora rose are just like rampant. Just, it's terrible. So we kind of like drove around that and I couldn't find her. And so then when Joey got home, him and his dad went out and looked, and they ran over things that I would not have run over with a four-wheeler. but they did end up finding her. She unfortunately had dead twins, a bull and heifer. It's shitty because like they were normal looking calves, but you could also tell that she didn't struggle to get them out. So like, I think they were just born dead, whether it was heat, the mastite, like we'll never know what happened to them. But thankfully she's doing pretty darn good. If you ask me, I thought about trying to get a calf on her just so that she could raise a calf, but her back quarters they're pretty well junk. So I think we're just going to dry her up and keep her alive. And she's just officially a retired grass puppy now.
Yay. So,
yeah. Kind of a wonky thing. Honestly, we haven't really had issues with calving, knock on wood. So we'll keep an eye on it, but we've got one more, I think, pure brown Swiss due with a brown Swiss, and she was due on the 3rd, so she'll probably go in like 2 weeks or so. And then throughout the fall we've got a couple sprinkled in, but yeah, we're working to get them more on like a seasonal breeding kind of thing. It's been one of the challenges of bringing like dairy cows home that were due at all different times, and then like trying to sync them together and stuff. So we just actually put Cedars in a group of, I don't know, maybe 10 heifers last week. So we'll pull those out this week and then breed them in a few days after we pull them out, so that we'll have like a little bit more of a big group, and we'll just kind of keep working like that. But other than that, we got the pigs. They're assholes as always, always escaping. The goats that are also rude. And the chickens, which are relatively calm.
Are you keeping your chicken flock small with all the bird flu stuff going on?
Yeah, kind of. Like, we did get probably almost 20 chicks this spring. And so we still have them separate from, like, the rest of the herd right now, which we might continue to do just because we need to... this spring, when we had one of those storms that took our greenhouse away, or like our chicken run away, and we have not fixed that yet. So the other ones are still contained in the coop. So I might just put some nesting boxes in our smaller coop and have them stay in there. But yeah, I had a lady that called me. I get some weird ass calls sometimes just by having our business on Facebook or on Google. But I got a call from a lady that had bought some chicks from Farm and Fleet this spring, and like she didn't want them anymore. And old Becca would have just jumped on that, like, heck yeah, I want some free chicks. I don't even know if they're free, but I'm like, yeah, they're only like, it was like 5, and they were probably just in her backyard. It probably would have been fine, but I'm like, I don't really want to risk it because I don't want my cows to get it, and I don't want all the chickens to die. So I told her no. I think she was like kind of disappointed, but I was like, post it on Facebook. People will go nuts over that. Mm-hmm. Like, sorry that you, if you don't know like the severity of it, but so yeah, I don't know. We do hope to get another round of meat birds in, to raise out before the winter, but we got to get through state fair before we think of any of that. Oh, hello, Winnie. You're so majestic.
Have you seen? I've showed you videos of her since she got shaved.
Yeah, she actually looks like her hair grew back a lot.
Yeah, she's kind of curly, which is funny. In July, like the middle of July, I went down to Chicago with the Ocean Spray ingredients team. So it's like a kind of a separate thing than like the regular Ocean Spray. So they're selling cranberry as an ingredient versus like selling the Ocean Spray brand companies. So it's like when you buy like Krusty's, like the cranberry orange muffins, those are Ocean Spray cranberries, but they're not labeled as Ocean Spray cranberries. If that makes sense. So they can like manipulate the moisture levels of the sweetened dried cranberries depending on like what it's going for. So like specifically in the Krusty's muffins or whatever, they're in like a little container inside the mix because the moisture level is so high. Whereas if they were just to dump them in the mixture itself, they would like stick to the dry ingredients and make them gross. Or if they're in like a granola bar, the moisture level needs to be dry, like it needs to be drier so it's not sticking to everything. So that was really interesting. I had no idea about any of that kind of stuff and like the way they're kind of pitching that cranberries can be used in a lot of different flavor profiles. So they had a booth set up at this big food science exhibit, what we went down for, and they had some of the chefs there. And they made three different types of cranberries that they pitched like a small investment group kind of. So they had like a margarita sweetened dried cranberry where they injected the cranberry with like a margarita flavor and it tasted like you were taking a shot of tequila mixed with like salt.
Did it actually have alcohol in it then or just
no, like it wasn't. It just tasted like it. So it was like margarita flavoring.
Oh, interesting.
Apparently that's a thing. But so I think that'd be really interesting to soak like a craisin in alcohol like you do with like gummy bears or whatever. I bet that would take really well.
Yeah.
I'll try.
I think someone do it at Cranfest.
Maybe that's all pregame for Cranfest.
Just make some and like walk around with them. Be like, hey, you want to try this?
Shit. Like with CBD gummies, I'm going to have tequila crisps.
Yes. I think you've just unlocked a new market.
They had a sweet and spicy. So they took a cranberry, a sweetened dried cranberry, and they air fried it in like this Cajun seasoning and like flour. So like the outside puffed out into like a perfect circle and it was crunchy, but the cranberry was still inside and it was really chewy. And it was delicious. It was so good. That was probably my favorite one. And then the other one, I don't remember what it was. It was like a Sour Patch Kid kind of vibe where it was like sweet because it had pineapple and then it was tangy with the cranberry. Like it was really good. So that was really interesting to learn about. I should reach out to someone from that department and see if they'll come on the podcast and talk about it more because it was really interesting how they can, like, they were selling all parts of the cranberry. They had the seeds there. They had mostly the sweetened dried cranberries and like all the different markets that they were trying to reach out to. It was really cool.
It's amazing how people's minds work, like to think of the different flavor profiles that like, I mean, occasion cranberry, like that's not something I would think of.
Right. And
To find that magic. You wonder how many things they try that doesn't taste good before, like, they find a winner.
And they're trying to find, like, things that were on trend. So they had, like, nostalgic tastes, too. So they made, like, a peanut butter and jelly version of, like, a mix.
Oh.
And, yeah, it was super interesting. Very cool. Very cool group of people.
Awesome.
And while we were down there, okay, so every time Dan and I travel anywhere, the worst storm. Like, we went down to Iowa last year for vacation. There's a freaking tornado the day we get down there, like 10 miles from where we're staying. There's a huge storm back home. Blew a tree over in our backyard and smashed our jungle gym up. And when we were down in Florida, when we were flying back in February, we went down there in February and flew back the first part of February. We flew through a tornado in February in Wisconsin. And when we were down in Chicago, and then we went to Summerfest And we went to go see Tyler Childers Summerfest, and we thought like all the seats were covered in like the amphitheater. Well, ours were not. We're sitting in the bleachers, and we saw there was going to be a chance of rain, and we're like, "Ah, we'll be fine." Well, we checked the radar like as we got into the theater, and we saw this huge cell coming in. We're like, "Are you kidding me?" So I went up to the concession ladies. I'm like, "Hey, do you guys have any extra garbage bags that we could turn into ponchos?" And they're like, "Yes, actually we do. Here you go." So we're wearing freaking garbage bags. Just downpoured the second he started playing. But it was a really fun time. It was a nice rain. It wasn't scary or anything. But when we were in Chicago, we got down there. There's tornado sirens going off downtown Chicago. There's tornadoes.
Like night of storms.
It was terrifying. We were stuck in a bar. We were watching the home run derby. And our hotel was literally right around the corner. And we were checking the radar. And we're like, okay, there's a break in the action. Let's just run back to the hotel quick. We opened the door to the bar. And there's like a giant tree branch that just snapped and was blowing down the street. The sirens are going off. Downtown Chicago. You want to talk about scary. That's like the creepiest thing I've ever heard. Like the sky is just spooky and like, do not recommend that. I didn't know what was going on. It was very like purge-like feeling, like with the sirens and stuff. And I was like, this is why we stay in Wisconsin, I guess. But anyway, I have to plug in my computer quick. So if you want to just tell a story real quick, I'll be right back.
Oh, what should I tell a story about? Let's see. You can't put me on the spot like this, Amber. This is not ideal. I can tell you about a story of... I don't even know. Oh, thank God you're back. You can't do that to me ever again.
Just walk off and have you tell a story?
Yeah, I couldn't think of a story.
Okay, I'll just cut that part out.
No, I mean, I talked the whole time. It was fine, but.
No pressure.
You can't leave me hanging like that without. You could have at least asked me a question or something, man.
Okay, well. That was a good little catch up.
It was. I know. I have a list of guests that I would love to have on the podcast running. Half of them my mom has suggested because she's just very good at finding like Wisconsin based people, farmers that she thinks would be interesting to have on. So
that's two separate shout outs for your mom tonight.
I know. Way to go, mom.
Maybe we should just have your mom on.
We could. She could tell us all about the Shake Shack. I'm sure she's seen some things in that products pavilion.
Probably.
I think she's working there today, too. No, but I mean, I think we appreciate everyone just sticking around through our little hiatus. I mean, obviously, we've been doing this for how many years now?
Like, is this a lot. Five? No, four? I think we started in 2020.
Okay. So, a lot of years. I don't remember. I think it was before COVID, wasn't it?
I think it was 2020.
Either way, we've been doing this for a while. So we appreciate everyone just kind of sticking by us because life happens. And sometimes
there's lots of things to listen to out there, too. And the fact that you choose us is touches my cold little heart a little bit.
Yeah. Speaking of listening, have you listened to any good podcasts or books lately?
Oh, boy. I'm really into audiobooks. I'm listening to one right. I'm trying to save like all my spooky stuff. You guys, it's almost spooky season. I'm giving it until the last week in August, and then it's full spooky season. So I'm trying to save a lot of my spooky stuff for September and October. But I'm listening to one right now that I'm having a hard time putting down. It's called, I don't remember the name of it. Never Lie by Freda McFadden. I really like her as an author. She does like some thrillers. I think I know the twist of this one already, though. So it was, I don't know if I've just listened to so many that I just know what's going to happen to them all, but I really like, I like it. I like those kind of books. So if you have any like spooky thrillers or anything, I'm all ears. If you want like a full list of them, let me know and I will be happy to pump those out because I've got a lot. But I stopped listening to a lot of podcasts because I'm just trying to cut down a lot of my anxiety. I've got enough of it. So I was listening to a lot of true crime stuff and that's not good for the old noodle. So I stopped. I didn't know what else to listen to. I'm like, I don't know what to listen to. I don't know what I'm going to like. So I'm just going to stop altogether. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
How about you?
I wish I could get into audiobooks. I don't know. Like if I just don't have like the attention span for them, I just like my mind goes in totally different places. So I do listen to more podcasts because I feel like the shorter things I can get through. But like a lot of times too, if I'm listening to a podcast, sometimes I have to re-listen to it because I'll just be like, wait, what were they just talking about? Like my mind is just totally somewhere else. I haven't really listened to any like new podcasts lately. Yeah, it's honestly just the same old ones that it's always been. I do still enjoy listening to Rachel Hollis. And she has a new book coming out at the beginning of the year. So that'll be fun. But yeah, I don't know. I need to start. I've been trying to find new podcasts, but like the delivery of a podcast is really important to me. Like how someone's voice sounds. If it sounds annoying, I don't care how good the information is. I can't listen to it. So that's usually a struggle in finding new podcasts with me. Like, or if I am curious about something, I'll like search that and then try to listen to some podcasts on it. Just as like a way of learning, but.
Yeah. I've been deep in the Ballerina Farm.
Oh gosh.
Gate.
Yeah. What a trip. We kind of went back and forth on this. Like the article comes out and you're like, oh my gosh. And then her statement comes out and you're like, oh my God. Like it's hard. I mean, obviously you should believe the person that it's rightfully coming from. And I'm sure that I'm surprised that their family like allowed not only that person to come out and interview them, but like to not review it before it was released. Like that is very surprising to me just with the following and like the business that they have. But at the same time, they got a lot of people talking about them.
And like, I feel like she's very good at doing that on her page. Anyway, I mean, how else is she going to get the following that she has? But yeah. It was very interesting to see like everybody divide, be like, oh, this poor woman, like she's so trapped in this family life and in her lifestyle. Like they have all this money and all he bought her for her birthday was an egg apron. Like, how dare he? He doesn't love her. She's just trapped. And it's like, then you like read her article and you're like, well, yeah, he gave up a lot of stuff for their relationship too. It wasn't all just her giving up her ballet dreams and like there's a lot.
Honestly, like I've followed them for a while and like every now and then the way that they care for some of their animals makes me not whatever, but I never really got that she was like oppressed by him or like the things that the article was saying I never really like got like just from the way that she was talking or like portraying their life or whatever. Obviously it seems like a dream for some people to like live there. But like I was telling you, I think a lot of my like with them is pure jealousy. Like if I had that kind of money and like to be able to build a dairy from scratch, I mean that's I don't care who you are, that's incredible. It was like the first dairy that where are they from? Idaho? Idaho had built in I don't even know how many years. Like it is not easy to be a dairy farmer for them to like use their money to do that. Like yes, I know they're selling raw milk, blah blah blah, but to invest in the dairy industry like that, like that's pretty cool, as jealous as I am of it.
I think I sent you stories and I'm like, I don't know anything about cow technology, but like the looks of the things that they have, I was like, this is really cool. Yeah, their barn, like the layout of everything, it's really cool looking. And her kitchen, I'm envious of her kitchen. Like you said, if I had that much money, I would spend all day in that kitchen too, making my own cheese for lasagna and like, you go, girl. Like you, noodles.
Like if I think a lot of the judgment from her, honestly, is just it's jealousy because they're wealthy. Like, and I don't think they've ever pretended that they're not. I mean, that stove is what, like $35,000 or something. Like,
I think tack a zero on there.
Really?
It's very expensive.
Okay, so yeah, it's like they're not like pretending to be poor by any means. So
yeah, and if I was, how old is she? She's like 25.
No, she's in her 30s now.
Is she?
Yeah, I think she had her first kid around
23, while she was still in college. Anyway,
let me Google.
I feel like she's younger than me. Anyway, if I was that young, that wealthy, that pretty, I'm, yeah, very jealous of what they have going.
She's 34.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. Anyway, that's another reason why I try to stay off of social media too, because I look at stuff like that and I'm like, God, so jealous. And then I'm like, no, my life is pretty good too. So I'm just going to enjoy what I have. I'm going to make my own dinner for my family that I like, and my normal everyday stove does the same exact thing. My milk is processed.
Yay, and not getting listeria.
Which is going around, so watch out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to like compare to other lives, which is, we've talked about that many times.
Yeah, I feel like we could go off on another rant, but take what you are jealous of on social media and just apply it to your own life. Like, see what you're jealous of and do your own version of it.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be as extravagant as what another person is doing, but
you don't have to make your own cheese, but you can make your own lasagna. It's easy enough.
Mm-hmm. Or you can buy lasagna from the frozen section.
Yeah, whatever. Pop it in the oven, microwave, whatever. Boom, made your own lasagna. Yeah.
Anyways, okay. Like, now we're just into our rambling.
Now we're getting like very hungry talking about lasagna. Just circling back.
Oh, I don't even think I have ingredients for lasagna. I can't even make that tonight. Maybe I'll make spaghetti. It's easy.
It is.
Even though I don't have my smoke and cheese sauce. Anyways, we will hopefully be back now with more regular content as we get our lives together. Bless this mess. And, if you guys are not following us, you should go do that. Amber's at Cranberry Chats, and I am at Becca Hilby on all the things. You can follow the podcast page at Forward Farming Podcast. Leave us a rating and review. I guess I haven't checked if anyone's done that lately. No? Okay.
I haven't checked a lot.
Okay. I mean, it's really nice just to know that, like, I mean, we know people are listening because we can look at our analytics and stuff, which is nice, but it's also nice just to like see a review every now and then.
Let us know you're still there.
To let us know that you're still. Oh, we had one on May 21st.
Did we?
Did. It's a 5-star review. It says, as a fellow farmer and mom, I enjoy listening to your show while working at my off farm job. Thanks for keeping us entertained. Thank you.
Aww. Sorry. Sorry we got back to you so late.
Well, honestly, we haven't really recorded an episode since probably before that. So.
True.
May 21st.
Anyway. Yeah, just or you can send us a message on Instagram or Facebook and just say, hi, still here.
Yeah.
We'd like that. Might take us a couple days to respond, but.
Yeah. Or share it to your story and tag us that you're listening.
Yeah.
All appreciated.
Me too.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you next week.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Bye.